Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the exploration of consciousness, who we are as evolving beings. And we're in a time now where many people are opening up to higher levels of consciousness and awarenesses and intuitions and tuning into perceptions and realities that they hadn't known existed before. Tonight's guest is going to be talking about that. Her name is Karen Noe. She has a new book out called Through the Eyes of Another. She's a clairvoyant, medium, and she connects people, I feel, to their souls, to their deeper understanding of who they are as spiritual beings. Karen, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you tonight?
Good, good, good. You know, I like what you're saying about Through the Eyes of Another. You talk about, you know, when people pass over, they have a life review, right? Isn't that?
Yes, correct. After we pass, we're able to see the bigger perspective, the bigger picture. In other words, we're able to see through each person's eyes how we have affected them, as if we are them. It's almost like we're not, many people are not aware how we are affecting others, you know, in our interactions. What we're doing is we're walking, seeing how they're affecting us. Well, it's the opposite after we cross.
Uh-huh. Well, so you're saying, well, first of all, how do you know that that's actually what happens when people cross over? How do you know people?
Okay. Well, I am a psychic medium, and I've had a practice for 15 years now. And many times during the appointments, their deceased loved ones come through. And by the way, I want to mention that they're always okay. So when I say they're seeing the bigger picture and they're seeing how they did something, you know, that was not so nice, it's not that they're suffering. And I'll discuss that more later. But I do want to say, so throughout many of the readings, people come through and they say they should have, could have, would have done certain things differently, but now it's too late. They should have talked, you know, spent more time with their loved one. They should have anything, not had a fight with them, different things like that. And I often hear from those, the living loved ones, that they should have done the same thing.
Oh, so wait, you hear from the people who passed over that they should have done more in their lifetime. Is that
Yes.
And
they're talking to their living loved ones. And if their living loved ones are in my office saying such things that I love you so much, you know, I'm sorry I cracked the mirror on your head. Something like that. I mean, it's very specific. They'll say something that they had done. And oops, and then, you know, they know it's really their loved one who crossed over. Now, the whole thing is, we're not, why do we have to wait till we die to see how that has affected our loved ones? Why can't we do it right now and try to create peace in our lives right here?
Right, exactly. That's why I liked what you say about your book. Have your life review here on planet Earth so you don't have to have any regrets on the other side.
Right.
So, I mean, you know for sure, and I believe you, that people do have those things when they cross over, the regrets of things they could have, should have, would have done. And how do you do it now? I mean, what advice do you give to people to?
Okay, so I did conduct an experiment, and I tried to figure out a way to do this. How can we see through the other person's eyes? So what I did is I met with a group of people. Over every single month, we met and saw how it was going. And we decided to do letters, different types of letters, right? As if we're trying to see how we are affecting the other person in our lives, whether it be our children, our mother, our father, our spouse, or whatever, friend. And you sit down, there were different types of letters that we wrote. We wrote gratitude letters saying how much we love them, because that was one of the main things when people come, was they wish they would have told their loved ones how much they love them.
But when you tell them for them, and then there's a sort of breakthrough in those moments, isn't there?
Correct, yes. And I mean, after hearing this so many times, I said, why do we have to wait till they die? You know, let's tell our loved ones how much they mean to us right here and now. Well, and a good way to do that would be in a letter.
Right. But you're putting yourself out of business a little bit, aren't you?
That's okay. I really, believe it or not, I'm doing this to create peace in people's lives, not just for business.
No, I believe you. I was just kidding. But yeah. So you have letters of gratitude telling people how much they're loving someone in their life presently. And what other kind of letters do you have?
Okay, there's letters of forgiveness. We want to forgive someone else, or we want them to forgive us. And then these types of letters are very loving, positive letters. Sometimes they didn't understand that. The experiment, they said, okay, and then they started bashing their loved ones. This is not what we're talking about. We're talking about if you want someone to forgive you, you know, you talk in a loving, positive way, saying, I never meant to hurt you. You know, I love you so much. And then you state why you did what you did. We never do things really to hurt the other person. And then a forgiveness, if you want to forgive them, trying to see through their eyes why they did what they did. It's very difficult. Times, you know, sometimes we just can't understand it. But for example, there was one woman in the group, she just couldn't forgive her mother. Her mother physically and mentally abused her for so many years. So we tried to see through her mother's perspective why she did what she did. And so when she wrote the letter to her mother, and her mother already was deceased, so she didn't have to mail it or anything like that. But she saw that her mother couldn't love because she wasn't shown love in her childhood. And she was the youngest of 8 children. So does it mean what her mother did was right? Absolutely not. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is that the woman in the group, her name was Donna, is actually mentioned in the book. Donna was able to see where her mother was coming from, and she finally was able to forgive her mother after all these years of not being able to do so.
And that was a huge release of energy for her, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And there was another woman in the group. Her name was Kathleen. And she had been going to therapy for many years.
Right.
And her therapist, after writing the letters to her loved ones, her children, and her husband, the therapist said the letters did in 1 month what many years of therapy couldn't even come close to.
What?
So you can see that it was a very huge healing experience.
So do you have people, if the person's alive, have them mail the letter to that person?
Yes. Well, it depends on if they want to. Sometimes they feel like they don't want to for whatever reason. They don't want to bring up the past or for whatever reason. I do tell them that the greatest healing experience does come from mailing the letter. However, if you feel guided, you don't want to mail it, you don't have to, but it's at least within you. And on some level, they will feel it energetically.
Do you think most of the problems come from people not knowing how to express love?
Yes. Not knowing how to spread. You were cut off a little bit there.
Oh, sorry. Not knowing how to express love.
Absolutely. Too often we assume that our loved ones know how much we care. And we shouldn't assume that. We should say, you know, I really love how you did this. Or this, I just love you so much. Just take for granted. And these letters, the gratitude letters were actually one of the best types of letters. I send them out to my own children and my ex-husband and my mother and my father, my sister. And it was such a healing experience for myself as well. And my children, some of the things that I said to them, they weren't even aware of. You know, I do love them. They know I love them. But certain things that they do and say, you know, things that I love about them, I wrote down, you know, and they were just, and they wrote letters back. Well, I have do you have time to hear it?
Yes. No, that's why I'm here. I want to learn what you have to say. And I think people listening want to hear. And I think you're onto something. I mean, beyond being psychic and all, this is just good therapy, of course.
Yes.
So tell me.
So during this whole experience, I had been going through a divorce. Oh. And so often, as everyone else, I'm sure, I was going through the experience and I just saw how everything was affecting me. Although along the line, I really tried to make it easier for my children. I never meant to hurt them. I hurt them nonetheless.
Right.
So when I, and my ex-husband, although it was a mutual, I mean, I didn't ask for the divorce. It was a mutual thing, agreement. But throughout the years, you know, we hurt each other. We never meant to. So these types of letters I wrote to my children and my ex-husband.
Wait, can I just ask you, why do people hurt each other in relationship? Why does that happen?
We don't do it intentionally. We see a lot of times how they're affecting us, and we're not seeing where they're coming from. So in the situation with me and my ex-husband, nobody was right or wrong. It's just that we were so totally different. Can you imagine? I'm a airy fairy medium, and he's a lawyer. So I could see where he didn't understand where I was coming from, and I didn't understand where he was coming from.
Well, can I just ask you a personal question, like why you ever got together in the first place?
We changed. We changed. So, you know, I wasn't like this. We were married for 25 years, and when we first met, we're married, I didn't do what I am doing now.
So why don't we get into that second? Read the letter, and then you'll tell me your story about how this all began. So
sure.
Yes. Okay, good.
So I wrote the letters to my children and my ex-husband, and the results were better than I had ever anticipated. I thought, well, in the beginning, my children just treated me differently. They knew that they were heard, you know. So they came. My older son was out of the house at that point, and then he came to visit me more often. My other children just talked to me more. You know, they were at that funny age. They didn't talk to me so much. But a month later, it was my birthday. And my daughter said she wanted to take me and my other, I have three children, two sons and my daughter. Uh-huh. She said she wanted to take me out for dinner, and then they had a surprise for me afterwards. So I said, oh, that's great. Absolutely. Let's do it. So we went out to eat, and when we came back, I saw a DVD on my table, and on the cover of the DVD was a picture of them and myself. I said, oh, this is going to be good. Little did I know what she did for me. So she plopped the DVD in the player, and the first person that comes on the DVD was my mom.
Wait, this was before you wrote the letter or after?
Oh, after. I'm sorry.
After.
Yeah, this was after I wrote the letters.
Letters of gratitude for your ex-husband and your children.
Forgiveness. I asked their forgiveness. Uh-huh. You know, I didn't mean to, I didn't intend to hurt them, you know, although I did. Uh-huh. Not on purpose, with the divorce and everything. And I tried to explain that their dad and myself, we were very different from each other. Nobody was right or wrong. And they saw I was not attacking their dad. So that was good, too. They
I
don't
think
want to
My mother should write me a letter. Can you tell her?
Yes. Yes. If she could see through your eyes where you're coming from, wouldn't you feel more loved? Wouldn't you feel more connection with your mom?
Yes, I think. I mean, she has said she was sorry for whatever she's done. But I think writing it out and expressing mm-hmm. it from the heart somehow
Absolutely.
Goes deeper. It's deeper than saying it, even, I think. But
absolutely. And you know why? You could think things through. When you're writing things down, you could say it in a nice way and then incorporate and change it and delete and add, you know, that type of thing. Sometimes when you're talking, you forget to say something or you don't say it in the right way. So,
anyway,
really
you put the DVD in and.
Okay. So my mom comes on and then she starts to talk to me about things that she loves and appreciates about me, how much she loves me. She goes on and on and on. It's the same thing that I had done for all of my children, for my mom, my dad, and my daughter took it a step further and interviewed all the people that I had written letters to, and on the DVD, they told me how much they loved and appreciated me. So she took it a step further.
Nice.
And she put it on a DVD, which I watch all the time.
You do? Wait, don't you just... Why do you feel, I mean, why do you have to watch it
why
all
do
the time?
I watch it time?
Yeah. Well,
number one, since I received that DVD, that was 2 years ago, my mom has crossed. I'm able to see my mom, and she talks about how she loves and appreciates me and all the things that I did for her. And it's just such a loving experience watching that. And my children say the same thing. They like to read the letters over and over again.
I bet you're right. I bet it. I think you're right. I bet for people who are feeling insecure about being loved, get a letter from their mother or father about how much they love them. It's like a tool, a support in their everyday life. That's really
absolutely, absolutely, and little tidbits of information that you never knew, such as my oldest son. I never knew. He said this on the DVD. He said he loves me, you know, I would do anything for him. And he said he remembers when he was three, he loved dinosaurs. And I bought him every single dinosaur book that I could find. And he said that shows you the kind of person you are, that you're trying to. I just thought it was funny. I never knew that he even remembered that.
But
little things like that.
But when your mother crossed over, did you get in contact with her?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I have so many stories for you for that. I don't know if you want to talk about
that.
I do. Well.
I do. I just want to see what was the difference. So you knew her in your life growing up, of course, but then crossing over, what was different in the relationship? How did it change and evolve?
It kind of was the same. And what I want to explain to listeners, messages come as thoughts. They come telepathically. It's not necessarily an audible voice that you're going to hear because they don't have an audible voice. It's spirit. So you hear it telepathically as a feeling, as signs. I received so many signs from my mom because she was a quiet person. And when she came through, oftentimes, if you could follow this, if they come as thoughts, it's actually easier for a medium to give the messages to someone else because you know a medium that's not their frame of reference. So you're getting thoughts about, Rebecca, who they don't know, and messages from Rebecca. But if I'm thinking of my mom, I may think it's my own thought, if you could
Right.
follow. So what you need to do is backtrack your thought. Did a thought just pop in your head for no reason? Or was there a thought that triggered a thought that triggered a thought? Then if it that's you.
So you're
If a
saying
thought
it's
just
hard,
popped
it's
in your
harder
head.
to read for yourself because
Absolutely. Yep.
I see. So how did now, so if a thought came in your head, it could be that you were just thinking about your mother and wish she could have said this, or she could really be communicating with you. Now, how did you know the difference?
So I started saying to her, Mom, you're very quiet. I need some signs from you. I call them without a doubt signs. So once I said that, boy, did I get at
Like
without a
what?
doubt signs. Here's one example. A week before she crossed, it was a week before Christmas, and she had seven people around her. She was in her living room in hospice in a bed, and she said she's a very giving person, and she said, "I'm so sorry, I wasn't able to get you all Christmas presents. I feel so badly." I said, "Mom, don't worry about it. It's really okay." She said, No. I really wanted to get you, Christmas presents." So she looks at me in my eyes and she says, "Karen, do you have $7?" So I said, "Okay." I didn't know where she was going with this. So I found $7 and they had to be singles. And she took the dollars and she started handing them out to one for you, one for you, one for you. And she was going around the room, gave a dollar, she gave a dollar to each person. So she looks at me in my eye and she said, "Karen, don't you worry, I'm going to pay you back." I said, "Mom, you really didn't have to." But she said, No, I'm going to pay you back." So I forgot all about this. She passes over a week later, and about a week after that, I come into my office, and as I'm walking into the waiting room in my office, there's a dollar on the floor. So I picked it up and I put it in my pocket. And I wasn't thinking anything. I thought maybe somebody lost it and I just put it in my pocket. Then I went into my, see, that was the waiting room. And then I went to my little office and there was a dollar on the floor. And I said, "Okay, I'm losing money. It can't be anybody else because now it's in my private office." I picked it up, put it in my pocket. At the end of the day, I go into my car and there's a dollar on my seat. And then I hear, as a thought, loud and clear, as I get messages for everyone else, it came as a thought. And she said, "Hello, sweetheart, I totally pay you back." And then I just started to cry. And then I started to find dollar bills in many places. The best one came from a friend of mine who knew nothing about this. My mom's giving me dollar bills. And she gave me a shadow box with pictures of my mom and memories and all of that. And she said, "Karen, I just don't know why, but I had to put a dollar in there." So I have so many of these so-called signs that I know without a doubt
So
that my
she
mom
paid
is
you back
truly.
more than $7, your mother,
Oh, she paid me back more. And I don't even want the dollars, but I love the signs that she's giving me.
So every time you find a dollar, there's your
Yeah,
mother
I
saying
know
hello.
it. I know it.
But tell me, though, about your story and how it actually got started, because you were married to a lawyer. You're probably just a regular New Jersey girl,
Yeah.
right? Sort of. I don't know if
Yes,
you.
yes.
And
When I was younger, go ahead, I'm
No,
sorry.
I want to know your story. No, go. I was just leading into it, so tell me.
Okay. So when I was a child, I would have dreams that would come true, precognitive dreams. I would dream things that would happen, and they would happen maybe a month or 2 months later. And my father used to take me to the racetrack because he said I was. What does he say? He called me lucky. My mother did not like that too much that he used me, but in any case. But about 15 years ago, I wasn't doing what I'm doing. I didn't pick up on people who crossed over. About 15 years ago, I was going through a rough time in my life, and I sat at the edge of my bed and I just yelled at God and I said, "Please let me know if I'm going to be okay." And with that, I actually saw a light coming towards me from the other side of the room. You know, you hear the saying, I saw the light. I did. And my first response was, if you're not of God, please leave. But the more I said that, the more it came towards me.
Were you like Christian or something or nothing?
I was brought up Catholic.
Uh-huh.
When I was younger, I was more religious. Now I'm more spiritual, and there
right.
is a difference.
I know, I know.
Yes.
But anyway, so this light came towards you.
And it came towards me, and when I said, if you're not of God, please leave, I said that the more it came towards me, actually came within me. And I cannot even put into words what I felt at that. It was the most peaceful experience I have ever felt. At that time, I did hear an audible voice. It said, Lucia Lucina, Bella Lucia Lucina. I don't know what that means. That's Italian.
I think it means of
light,
the light, right?
Lucina. Light, little light, beautiful little light.
Uh-huh. So you didn't know that at the time, but that's what the voice said.
I knew at the time because my grandparents were Italian.
Uh-huh.
And they spoke Italian in the house. I did not speak it myself. I knew what it meant. And later on during meditation, I had more experiences after that. But I have since learned that it was St. Francis of Assisi. And that's why I believe most of my what I'm doing in life is to create peace in people's lives. It's more of a peace connection more than see what I can do. You know,
I see. Wait, so this light came inside you and stayed inside you? Or?
It stayed within me, created an extreme peace within me. And right after that experience, I started feeling angels and people who've crossed over. And at first, I didn't want to share this with people because I didn't want people to think I was not in my right mind.
Right.
You know, I was very shy. People who knew me before me say, is this really you? Because all of a sudden now I'm I didn't want to share in the beginning, but now I am doing all of this. Yes. And it started off reluctantly. I started doing messages and I saw it was very specific messages. I don't know how much detail you want me to give you,
well,
but
you can give me some detail. I mean, these message, but the messages came to you as thoughts and feelings and you saw things too around people. Is that true?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
One of the first things, when I really realized I was really receiving messages in the beginning, I was doing healing. I do Reiki and healing. At that time, I was doing it in the back of a hair salon. I was based by the app. And one of my appointments, as I was doing the healing, someone came through. I can't remember the name, Robert. They usually say their name. And he showed a picture of a kangaroo with boxing gloves.
Now you actually hear the name, Robert. Hello, I'm Robert.
It's not an audible voice. It comes telepathically. It sounds difficult. It's difficult.
No, I understand. It's a feeling sense.
Yes,
it's a feeling.
Exactly.
I get that too, yes.
Okay, good. And as the message is coming through, I'm seeing, I say seeing, it's not outside of my, it's in my mind's eye. I'm seeing a kangaroo boxing, with boxing gloves, boxing in the air.
Uh-huh.
So my first response is, I'm talking to Robert in my head. I'm saying, she's going to think I'm crazy for sure. Can you tell me something else? But he kept showing me this. Now, this is when I first began doing the messages. So I said, okay, I'll give in and I'll see what she says about this. So I said, there's someone here named Robert, and he's showing me a kangaroo with boxing gloves. And she screams. And my friend Robert had passed away in a car accident, and he boxed kangaroos in Australia.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. When that started happening, I knew without a doubt that it's not me making it up. I'm not just saying your grandfather is here and he loves you very much. You know, you know, it started coming in like that. It
yeah,
started
very
another
specific.
Message. Yeah, like Aunt Jemima. Some woman came through. You know, this is in the beginning. I didn't know what to do with it. She tells me her name, Alice, and then she shows me Aunt Jemima.
Uh-huh.
So I said, oh my gosh, here we go. Here we go. You know, it's a crazy message, but she's, you know, she just kept saying that. And when I said, there's a woman here named Alice, and the woman, it was her friend. And I said, she's showing me Aunt Jemima. I hope it means something. You know, so unsure at that time in the beginning. And she said, oh my God, this truly is Alice, because when we went to high school together, there really was an Aunt Jemima. Aunt Jemima came in a helicopter to serve us all pancakes.
Wow.
And we got together, say, remember Aunt Jemima.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. So when that started happening, I said, okay, I'm not making this up. This is real, you know? And I said, okay. I started in the back of a hair salon with one or two clients, and then it started building. And now I'm booked 2 years ahead of time, and I'm not even taking any new clients because I'm working on my next book and everything. But it was all word of mouth. But
But that's just, I mean, so yeah, you're a medium and you talk, but your real work is what you told me is to bring peace to the, and
yes.
to also teach people how to tap in themselves to these levels. Is that
Exactly. Yes.
right? Right,
It's
right.
not about me. The whole thing is it's about you. It's about everyone. And I truly believe we all can do this. That's the best part. It's not that, oh, wow, I had this experience and it's me. Oh, no. We all have this ability. If we meditated, you know, there are different things we could do to increase this ability. If we're aware of the signs that our loved ones are giving us, you know, if we ask for signs, if we ask them to come to us in a dream, you know, this type of thing, if we're more attuned to their energy, we can do it too.
Well,
So that's.
how do we start? I mean, if somebody's listening and they want to tap in, well, you know, I do have to say though, mediumship is just one level of spiritual connection. Everyone looks at John Edwards or other people like yourself, but that's one level. That's just the astral plane. There's so many other levels that we can tap into. So
Absolutely. There are so many levels. And I
I
would say the most important thing to do is to meditate.
Right. Meditate and meaning what? You just close your eyes and tune in.
Yes, there's different ways to meditate. Sometimes people say to me that they're not able to quiet their thoughts. And if they can't just do that, I tell them other ways to do that. You know, maybe stare at a candle,
Well, I tell
fill your.
people though not to quiet their thoughts. I tell people to listen to their thoughts,
Listen to their thoughts. Yes.
and don't try to quiet it, but be the observer of the thoughts, and then you start to hear them like a radio, and then you realize you're the
Yes.
observer, you're not the thoughts.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. That's truly. And most of the time they come if you want to connect with your deceased loved ones, they come as thoughts.
Right,
You
right.
know, as I said before. So
So that's a start of opening up to a spiritual understanding. I mean, I don't get offended by this, but I do think mediumship has given spirituality a bad name.
I do. I believe you. And you know what? I agree with you. There was one particular medium who I heard saying that his job is not to heal people, his just to give the message. And I believe that my job is not. My job, we all have jobs. I mean, we all are trying to create peace and love in the world. But my job is to create healing and peace during a very difficult time in their lives. And then if somebody comes through, that's wonderful. Do you know
Right.
what I mean?
I
But the
do know
healing
what
is.
you mean. And so how do you do make how I mean, okay, Saint Francis sort of merged with you, which I believe because that's a great being and that energy is part of what we can access. So how are you bringing peace to the planet with your work?
Well, I'm trying to spread the word, and I started off by doing this mediumship and creating people understanding now. They know without a doubt, pretty much, because it's usually the messages are very clear that it is from their loved ones, so that they know now, without a doubt, that their loved ones are okay. They know without a doubt that they're at peace, because we are in peace after we cross over. We're just able to see the bigger picture. It's not that, you know, we're suffering, or you asked before, am I religious? I'm not religious. Some spiritual, it's a big difference. You know, some religions tell us that if you don't do this, this, and this, you're going to end up in hell. But guess what? That's not true.
Well, there
You're
is no
one with
hell,
all,
first of all, right?
right? We're one with all that there is after we cross over. And that's pure love and pure peace.
My whole program is about being spiritual, not religious. I think I think this is the end of the time of religion because those are dogmas of rules and rituals, and I mean, they may have a place for some people, but they get in the way of spirituality mostly, and I think the true spirituality is just doing what you're doing, tapping into our own thoughts, going in,
Absolutely.
meditating, and knowing what who we are. So.
Yes. Knowing who we are is the most important. And yeah, absolutely. And we're all one in reality anyway. So.
But I know, but why? I mean, I know people aren't people, but why do you think people incarnate in the first place? Why are we here, you think?
We choose whether or not we want to reincarnate. And what happens is when we do see the bigger picture, on how we've people say we want to be the perfect as we are after we leave. We say, okay, I didn't learn compassion. I'm going to back compassion. It's not that we're forced to come back. You know, we choose that. And, or else we choose, or we knew compassion. We say, okay, we're going to spread compassion or something like
But
that.
what's the purpose of incarnation to begin with? Is it just to learn? Or I think there might be a bigger picture to reasons why we incarnate as human beings.
Well, yes, I believe, well, for myself, for example, I feel like I chose to spread the love and peace. That's really what I chose. It seems silly, but it's not. I feel like I just need that to do that for me
Right.
and for everyone else too. But you know, when you help people, you help yourself as well.
So I think, when I said that mediumship was sort of like, I feel like since mediums just sort of tap into the astral, they don't make people aware that there's these other levels and planes of consciousness. And so how can we bring that awareness to people? And what's your experience also of those other levels?
I teach classes. I just don't teach classes on mediumship. I have a center in New Jersey in Ramsey, and I teach all sorts of classes about how your thoughts create, you know, law of attraction and reincarnation and there, you know, a life on other planets, such things like this and all everything. So there's so much more than just mediumship. Absolutely.
What do you think about life on other planets? What do you know? Tell me.
Well, it abs what do I
I
know?
mean,
Well,
what
I
have you
know for
seen?
a fact there is life on other
Like,
planets for sure because I connected with it.
because you connect,
I
what, which
connected
planets do you feel there are life, there's life?
all over. I mean, it if we think about it, you look up in the sky, it's such a vast universe. To think that we're the only planet that has life, that's silly. You know,
Oh
the
no,
science.
I know. I do
No.
shows on UFOs all the time and people, but what, where do you think there's life in this? What planets in particular do you feel there's
I
life?
don't know exactly what planets in particular. I know the Andromeda Galaxy has life planet, you know, life there, but life as we know it, perhaps not. When I say life on other planets, there's different types of life, just energy beings or, you know, just thought forms or whatever. But life as we know it here on Earth, perhaps Earth is the only place that has the same type of life, but this is not the only type, the only kind of life there is.
Right.
So one time I was meditating
Yes.
and I actually saw a being, a beautiful being, and I just was mesmerized and it just was peace and love. I just knew it was from the Andromeda Galaxy. So that's why I'm bringing up that galaxy. And there was no word spoken. It was just a peaceful feeling sent from this being to myself. And my life was not the same after that. So,
Really, that's
yes.
beautiful. Maybe you're actually from the Andromeda Galaxy. You're here on a mission.
I do believe that. I didn't want to come out and say that. But you know what? I believe a lot of us are not from here anyway.
Well,
I
you
mean,
could say anything you want in this
I will.
program,
Okay.
really. Please don't hold back.
Okay. What I believe is if we do reincarnate and we come back and over and over and over, and there's a vast universe out there, why would we keep coming to the same planet over and over too? It just doesn't make sense. So I believe many of us are not from here.
So tell me then, what are like the thought form frequencies? What are the ways beings think on other planets and dimensions and galaxies? Everyone here in this human dimension thinks in a very kind of emotional, psychological way of interacting, but I don't think that's the universal language. I think there's other ways of knowing and connecting. Can you tell me what are the ways there are?
What other ways than thoughts? Because this is the way we can only understand is with thoughts or feelings, you know, as they connect with us. But there are levels, different planets that, just as in planet Earth, but there are different continents. There are some different people that are that like war. There are some peace people. There are some people that speak Spanish. Some speak English. You know, so there are different types of energies. So you got different galaxies that are very peaceful. There are some planets that are not so much so. Very, you know, they are into technology, not so much so. You
So,
know, things like that.
would you say life is abundant throughout the whole universe?
Absolutely.
Right. And you think that we'll be meeting up in a concrete way with some of these life forms?
I'm pretty sure we're doing it right now, and we're not aware of it. I think a lot of these this energy is coming through in as thoughts and in inventions. They're telling us how to invent things or spread the peace, or they come thoughts and we're not even aware of it. Just as I said before, our loved ones, our deceased loved ones, are coming through as thoughts. A lot of times these beings are trying to get through to us in that way as well.
Do the loved ones then, are they aware? Because a lot, I think, of people who pass over still are locked within their belief system and their dogmatic views of what's possible. So,
Oh, after they pass, do they have their same views? Is that they have the same personality as they did when they were here? So if they were funny, they come through cracking jokes, that type of thing. If they were quiet, quiet. However, they do see the bigger perspective and they do see the bigger picture, and they're absolutely able to see how they have affected people if it was a wrong, like a dog, they were so set in their ways.
Really,
They
even
see.
religious people who are very fundamental, Roman Catholic or
Yeah. Funny
Hasidic.
thing about that, that's a very good question, is we leave, how do I say this? We leave with the same place that you were when you were here. It's not that you advance to a very high
Right.
level all of a sudden, you don't become enlightened. So you definitely were a Catholic and you believed all that. You still will be at that level. You'll see a little bit further than that, but you won't really, you'll see the bigger perspective, the love and the peace, but you'll have that. I see what you were saying before, that dogma. You will. Yeah.
So how does anyone, I mean, because ultimately there's no such thing as religion on the spiritual level. Everybody's spirit beyond any religion. So how do these spirits eventually evolve? Do they have to incarnate again,
Yes.
or do they
That's
have a
yeah.
awakening on the other side? I think you can have awakenings on the other side.
Absolutely. There's actually, they learn on the other side, they grow and they evolve. And how do I say, there's different paths to the same destination. There's different religions and they lead to the same destination, but these different religions are very bigoted, actually. I'm trying to find a good word. If they think their way is the only way, it's not. It's not the only way. There's different ways to get to the same place.
Right. And so the same place. So ultimately, though, the ultimate purpose, though, because we're all evolving, do you see like the highest level of like the Buddha nature, the Christ nature, the Krishna consciousness? Are you aware of those
Yes,
levels?
oh, absolutely. That's what we all are striving for.
Right.
You
But
know, total.
how do you emulate that for yourself and come from that place? I mean, is that your overall goal to become that?
Absolutely, that is my ultimate goal. That all the Buddha, the Christ-like energy, it's just total love and peace and no judgment. And that's exactly what I'm striving for. I'm trying to teach people that as well.
But how are you getting there? What are you doing in your evolution?
The most important thing, I think, is learning forgiveness. And it's so important. And we forgive not only for the other person, but for ourselves as well. Because when you forgive someone, there's a saying, it's not the snake bite that kills you, it's the venom that's left behind. So
That's
when
a
you're
good
able
one.
to
Thank you.
forgive, yeah, it's when you're able to forgive, you release that from yourself. And then you're more godlike, you're more Christ-like, Buddha-like. And that's when everything, and that's when you feel really good and wonderful.
So
And everybody wants to be around you.
you do that. You walk around
Try to.
emanating.
I'm not perfect for sure,
No,
but
we're.
truly, people I encounter, every person I try, even when you go to the store, if somebody's giving someone a hard time or giving you a hard time, you try to see where they're coming from. Maybe they're very tired. They worked all day or something. Instead of seeing what they're doing to us, we try to see from their point of view why they are the way they are, and send them love and try to send each person that you come in contact with, send them love.
That's sweet. I mean, that's nice. I mean, imagine if everybody did that on the planet. What an
The
amazing
world would
place.
be a better place.
It would be an amazing place. I mean, I
Yeah.
see so many people who are so angry. I don't mean not all the time, but there are people in marriages that, can't forgive each other. I mean, how do you help people who are angry at each other to see that when they want to hold on to their judgment?
Well, I tell them, do you want to feel better? Do you want to feel better? And do you want to create peace in your life? And they say, usually say yes. And so then I try to explain, try to see through the other person's perspective why this is happening. Because both in an argument, both parties think they're right. So do you want to be right or do you want to feel better? So you try to release that feeling of righteousness. You try to see where the other person's coming from. It doesn't mean the other person is right. It's just trying to see where they're coming from. And a lot of times, most of the time, when I do that, they'll say, oh, okay. You know, how are you affecting the other person? So in my marriage, for example, you know, my ex-husband was he was very much into his job. He was a wonderful worker and this type of thing. I really didn't give him the credit due because I was coming from a different perspective. I was coming from the spiritual way. So when I tried to see this is where he was coming from, he's not wrong. He's a great supporter. You know, he was a good father and all of that. And you try to see that. And I acknowledge that in him. And that creates peace because he's heard then. I just wanted him to see from where I was coming from too. Because, you know, that
he couldn't, though. He couldn't see that.
Couldn't. No. He try. I try. I don't know. Maybe.
No,
maybe
it doesn't sound like he can because he's not as evolved. He's not there. Right? I mean, it's okay.
It's okay. Yes. We're different paths.
But, I mean, the fact that he can't, though, it is a little disturbing, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I say it wasn't. Yes.
No, so how do you deal with that? You know, the fact
it's not always easy. It's not always easy. And I do. Do you know what the tapping is? The emotional freedom technique.
Yes. Yes.
I do that all the time. So you're asking me, I tell you what I do is when something happens that I just don't understand, or I'm trying to make peace, I do this technique, emotional freedom, and I tap the acupuncture points. And for the listeners who don't know what that is, energy is stored in different points in our body. Negative, whenever there's a negative energy, whether it's grieving, anger, fear, whatever. And if you tap on the acupuncture points, as you're experiencing the emotion, yes, it releases the energy. And I don't carry it around with me. It really works.
But
really,
how do you release it for good where it's not going to come back and you don't have to do that? I mean,
a lot of times it works for a very long time until something else comes up. And it only takes a few minutes and it's really worth it. Because you know what? We can't change the other person. We can't do it. They're just ways, whoever they are. And when you realize that, so you can only change your reaction to them. And what I do is I cut cords. I ask the angels to help me to cut cords, and I do the tapping. I think that's the most important thing.
Right. But how do you, I mean, I'm just saying, and it's a little personal, how do you get to the place in your life where none of that's going to bother you at all? I mean, isn't it about loving ourselves enough? And
yes.
And so,
realize that it's important what they think about us, that it's, you know, you love yourself and you realize you're doing the best you can, and to not worry so much about their opinions of us.
Right. So we're still trying to love ourselves more,
yeah,
because if we did, then nothing would really bother us. Right.
Right. Exactly.
So,
but I tell you that EFT, the tapping, is a miracle. I used it, you know, when I was grieving, my mom was suffering and before she died, and whenever something happens, it's like, woo!
But it's
really
sort
works.
Of like a drug, though. I mean, it's like, I think we have to...
It's not a drug. It's a...
It's a release, but
release.
I think it's more important, though, if you're feeling something, to just feel it. If you're feeling angry at somebody or sad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not saying to get rid of the, yeah, that did sound like I'm trying to not express my feelings.
Or feel it. We have to feel it.
Yes. Feel the feeling.
Yes.
Feel the feeling, but remove the angst. How's that? Like, know what's going on, and then you don't want to, I don't know about you, but I don't like to feel yucky. I don't.
What if
I don't
you
like
just let yourself feel yucky and get to the bottom of it? I'm not saying you, but everybody, you know.
But I'd rather feel more peaceful. I'd rather feel, you know.
But if we feel that angst, then of course,
maybe you could release it.
Then we have to just allow whatever that feeling's about,
mm-hmm,
to kind of work through us. So we don't have to. I mean, I think, and what I've learned on a spiritual level, when we really sink into the feeling, when we really let ourselves like have angst and go to the deepest amount of feelings we can have in there, then we own the experience, and then the soul owns that as wisdom, and we never have to have that a feeling again. Because
I agree with that, and you know, that's actually one of the letters that I talk about in the book is the letter to yourself. And in the letter to yourself, you acknowledge your feelings, and you talk about how proud you are of yourself, and you know all the loving things. If you did mistakes, you talk about your feelings there. So that kind of is what you're talking about. You know, you acknowledge everything, and it's okay to experience. You know, you
it's
feel
all
this.
Okay.
And it's okay.
It's all okay because in a way, we are the spirit. You know, I heard something the Sufi saying. What is sadness to the soul is laughter to the spirit. You know.
I like that. That's
so
true.
Yeah, so when we're here, we have those feelings here on Earth because we are human, we're soul beings. But on a spiritual level, we are here to have all the experiences, good, bad, and ugly, I guess. So and then evolve with that awareness out of it. But you know, it sounds like what you're doing is great because you are helping people.
Rather not feel yucky, though. That's my experience. Is that when I'm feeling that, I'm like, oh. I don't like to feel that way.
I would say let yourself feel that way even.
Yeah,
let yourself feel yucky. Just have the awareness that, okay, I'm just going to go. It's like it's like medicine.
Yeah.
You go into the yucky feeling and you see what's at the bottom of that.
Right.
You let yourself have that. You actually amplify. You make yourself even feel worse. Mm. And then you see, I mean, you know.
Horrible. Does it ever go away then?
It does, of course. It only is there because it wants to be looked at. If you go into that yucky feeling and you let yourself be in a way consumed by it, then you understand the power of that message, and then you transcend it. Then it's never there again because you've owned it,
right?
You've experienced it. You've not avoided that. As long as you kind of get away from that and tap it away, you never allow the message of that experience to communicate what it's trying to say. There's really no yucky experience if you're the observer from the spirit level. But if you let yourself have it and be overwhelmed by it, it does transmute. Trust that.
Okay. I'm going to try.
Try.
I won't so fast next time.
Go into it and let yourself have it because you're more evolved than that, but let yourself experience the feelings so you know what is at the bottom of that. That's my try that.
You know, that could last though.
No, that's the fear. That's just fear.
Yeah, that is the fear. Correct.
The experiences, the feelings, they come and go, but they want, there's something in that, I think, that yuckiness for you. Mm-hmm. That probably goes back lifetimes and lifetimes, and there's some kind of gift in there that will reveal itself if you yourself have it, and you say, "Oh, this is what it was really about," and then you never have it again because you don't need to have it because it's been looked at. It's been,
and then it won't be coming into your life anymore, right?
Because there's no need to. Because
no need to, correct?
It's been experienced on the deepest level possible.
Uh-huh.
And then your soul owns it that as wisdom. That's what I've learned. It's like when you really let yourself have that, be consumed by it, then you spit out the other side and you own it. It doesn't own you anymore. You own it.
Right.
So try that. But let me ask you another question. What do you think about this time? What do you get? You know, we're moving into, I feel, a time of higher vibration and evolution and 2012. What are you getting from the higher levels about what's going on?
I'm just feeling that more people are becoming aware of the higher levels and we're incorporating that. I don't believe it's going to be the end of the world. I think it's the beginning of the world. It's more, you know, more aware of energy. And how important that is in healing the mind, body, spirit, and things like that. So it's an evolution. It's not an end of the world. Is that the way you feel as well?
Yeah, I feel like there's some kind of extra energy coming to the planet. And I was just wondering, you saw as sort of a psychic intuitive as far as like what energies and how it's coming and what these
greater energies, and the negative energy is kind of moving out, and I'm hoping. You know me, I mean, as I said before, I just don't like negativity. I just don't. I don't know. Maybe it's from where I'm from. I don't know.
I mean, I totally agree. I don't like negativity.
Yeah.
No one likes negativity. I
Right.
do think it's the end of that old paradigm. But I mean, if you're in touch with these like beings from these other planets, you see them as sending more energy here, or can
They
you?
don't want us to destroy the planet. So, they're doing things, within, like sending thoughts to us and messages such as this, just to create more peace in the light in our world, against, not war, but more peace, and trying to see a person's point of view, as well as politicians and leaders and things like that.
Right. Do you get any direct message like right now from those Andromedas that they want to say like as
No, really, I have not.
okay.
Most, yeah.
No, that's okay. Just wondering if you're like in that kind of like you're more like a but I guess you're not like a channel really. You're more like getting.
I am channel. I think the bottom, what I am doing, basically, what it's really from that is the peace, the peace, the peace. That's exactly what the book is about. Getting peace, create peace on earth, creating peace in your lives, creating peace, that's from a higher perspective. I know it's not from me, because it feels like it's coming from someplace else. Just like when I get messages from someone else, I'm doing reading. Is coming from someplace else.
I mean, I think that's the amazing thing about the time we're in now is that there's these levels and frequencies that we can start to discern, you know, different places that feelings are coming from. You know what I mean?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Have you ever felt the other dimensions as well? I'm sure you have.
I have. I mean, for me, I think you have a clearer distinction, maybe, of the different places. For me, it just sort of seems like impressions and thoughts. I'm not sure which place things come from, but I
Right.
do feel they do come, like especially in like a creative mode. I'll just access words or thought.
That's what I'm talking about. Yes.
Right. So I mean, how do you train people? How do you help people and work with people in clarifying like the levels of messages that are coming to them, or the types?
Well, when they are receiving, I teach people. This weekend I had an angel certification course, it's called. But what I teach them to do is to, when they're receiving the messages, you could tell the difference between their own thoughts and somebody else's, because it would come, they're speaking to you like greetings. You wouldn't talk to yourself like that, like greetings, dear one, or something like that. To listen to the message, if it's egocentric, there are channelers that they say they're channelers, and it's very ego-centric.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to those people.
Yes, I don't like that. And oh, you are so powerful, and you are they wouldn't say that. We're all powerful. You
Right.
know what I mean? So if somebody's talking to us and they're saying, oh, you're very powerful, we all are. That's a true message.
Right.
And to
I
realize
Most
that.
people are channeling their own egos.
Yeah, and you could tell the difference right away.
You can, and it's a whole different feeling. I mean, I think I've been fortunate to be able to find really good channels because I mean, I can just, for me, feel where there's a higher message because
Absolutely.
it rings true for me, you know. But so you teach people how to listen to those voices. Are you giving like some workshops coming up?
I do give a lot of workshops. It's all on my website. I'm in Ramsey. It's karennoe.com. That's KarenNoe.com. And I have all the classes that I teach there. I teach Reiki and healing, all sorts of stuff, fun stuff. But I teach people how to do it themselves.
So, do you feel like this is part of our collective evolution, what you're teaching?
I think so. I think it's wonderful to see, especially something like Reiki, the energy healing, is that now it's practiced in the hospitals. How wonderful is that? They're realizing
Yeah.
that healing is mind body spirit. It's energy as well. It's not just the body,
Yeah.
So that's wonderful to see that.
It is. It is. I mean, no, that's great because it's all, Yeah, it's all part of our evolution of thought and consciousness, and so where are we going though? As a, I mean, I guess I asked that before, but do you see like our cultures changing? Do you have like a vision of the future?
I really don't see a vision. It's all dependent on the mass consciousness. So what happens is if we change, the world will change. So we have to start shifting our energy to peace and love and all of that. And then everything will change in the world. So, one thing, I don't do future too much. When people come through, I give messages from their deceased loved ones about how they know it's their loved one so that it's proof of their, survival of life after death. But I don't do too much future. However, we're so aware of, I'm sure you are too, how thoughts create. And if we could change the mass consciousness and spread love and peace, then the whole entire planet will change as well. And we won't need war anymore because peace is the best weapon there is.
So that's great that Saint Francis chose you to kind of help.
Well, St. Francis chose a lot of people. And that's another thing too. It's not just about me.
Right.
It's about, I was listening, and I'm sure other people are listening as well. And he could be with more than one person at the time. You know what I mean? It's not just, he came to me. He could come to anyone if you ask.
Well, let me ask you another question about the other side. So, I mean, what do these people do there on the other side? I mean, all day. They don't have to eat or so what's there to do?
Their spirit. They help us on Earth. They help those who've crossed over. They actually, I'm not quite sure what they do all day. When they do come through, they say, now it could be they say these things so that we're aware it's truly them, but they'll say, if someone loved popcorn, for example, I have someone through saying he's eating popcorn. Now, do they have to have popcorn? Do they need to eat on the other side? No, because they're spirit. But maybe they're saying this because that shows who they are, but I'm not quite sure what they do all day. I do know they grow and they are learning. And they're helping us to evolve and grow and learn as well.
Right. I guess time is different also for them. So when we say
Time is an illusion, really. It's all now.
it is all now, but so what do you think? I mean, I know you believe in reincarnation, but what can you say if time is all now, when are those other lifetimes happening? Are they happening now as well, you think?
Simultaneous, yes, is very hard to understand because we're thinking with our brains. But it's very difficult to explain with time and everything.
Well, what
But
lifetimes do you remember for yourself?
what life do I remember? I don't remember. I'll never forget it. I actually learned hypnotherapy one time, and I needed a past life regression because I don't remember my past lives too much. And as I was doing it pretty much for a phobia, and it was a class. They were teaching me. They said, "Who wants to come up in front of the room? Does anybody have a phobia?" So I raised my hand, and I was shy at the time. And I said, "Well, I'm really afraid of water. Can we?" This was not for a past life, actually. This was for a present life. He said, "Let's work on a phobia and going on in your life." So when I went up in front of the room, and he brought me back to the time where the phobia began. It wasn't in this life. He brought me back to a past life where I actually drowned. So, and I experienced that feeling. So I really don't remember consciously my past lives. I wish I did. That would be awesome, but I
Well, you
don't.
could probably do that in a dream. You can ask in a dream to remember. I think we just remember the lives where we have to work through patterns that are still in the way of our soul's evolution.
Little bits and pieces and memories, little memory here and there, but things like that.
So you feel like the way we're here, we've incarnated, and we're here to forgive and love and see through the eyes of others, and that's our evolution. Is that
Yes, I really believe that. I believe that our true purpose is to be love and to spread love, and everything else is just a byproduct. And it's very important to have fun along the way
have
and to
fun
be creative. Have fun, yes.
in which way? Well, how?
Wherever we're guided to, we're all different. We're all different beings, and we're all guided in different directions. Someone may love music, another person may love art, another person may love film, whatever it is. And to truly go in that direction, because that's our soul's purpose. And when you go in that direction, You feel wonderful. You go for your passion. I tell people to go where their passion is.
I think that's true. And that,
Yeah.
and then, so you're not like a psychic telling people about the future, though.
No, I don't usually do that. And I truly believe, I know, not only believe in knowing is different, that we create our own future. So if our thoughts change, then our future will change. So if you want what you, if you could focus on what you really want to happen, if you see it at the dream as it's already fulfilled, it will happen. It will happen.
So that's a good point. So if we hold the vision of
Yes.
what we want in our lives,
Mm-hmm.
and we, where do we just hold that
And
in
you
our
feel
mind's
it.
eye, and you feel it?
The important thing is to feel it, because if you, people often say to me, well, I'm thinking it, I'm, you know, writing it down on a manifestation board, I'm writing it down, but nothing's happening. The reason is you have to feel it. It's all about energy. The energy creates, energy is like a magnet. So whatever we're thinking about, we create. And most people create by default. They're not, they're saying, oh, I would never create this in my life. But they're creating by default, because what they're thinking about most of the time and talking about most of the time is coming into their lives.
Right. So I say that too in lectures I give. I say, if you don't create your reality, one will be created for you.
That's true. It's very true. By default sometimes,
by
right?
default, yes, by the thoughts
Yeah.
that you're unconscious. So the idea then is to be as conscious as we possibly can.
Exactly.
With all of this. So
Mm-hmm.
this is your third book, is it?
It is my third book. It's actually second done over. My second book was with Balboa Press, and then Hay House took it over. And I wrote new stories in it and everything. So.
Oh, wait. So your first book was Rainbows Follow the Storms?
Yeah, The Rainbow Follows the Storm.
And what's that about?
And that's also talking about how to connect with your deceased ones, and how it talked about the afterlife. And this third book, is more about the wisdom that I have learned from the other side, and how to use this wisdom to create peace in your life right here and right now, and not have to wait till we cross over to use this wisdom.
And so the basic, and so you give classes in this too then, huh?
Yes, I do. I do.
And so where can people find your classes?
My website is karennoe.com. That's KarenNoe.com. And they could find all the classes on that and all my past radio shows. I do have a radio show the first Saturday of every month. It's called the Angel Quest Show, and all the information's on the website as well.
The Angel Quest Show, and it's
WRCR.com.
Oh, that's the radio station it's on?
Yes.
Oh.
If you're local, if you're in the New Jersey area, you could get it on 1300 AM, but you could, get it on your computer, WRCR.com.
Oh, and people call you up and ask them to do, like, readings on the phone? Is that how it
I don't do readings on the air. I stick to, I interview like Bernie Siegel, Ariel Ford. We had an animal communicator on last week. It was so much fun. Sometimes we just talk about what we're, the book. My book, and I have the people that were in the book, and we're talking about how it changed their lives. It's just, it's just a fun place to be, and people could call up and ask questions, but it's not readings pretty much. But I did have a numerologist on, and people called in with readings for that, and but
well,
yeah.
I would be on your show and talk about new realities.
I would love to have you on my show.
Oh, okay. Well, okay.
So we're going to talk. You have my email?
I have your email. Yes, and you have my email. But before we go, just tell me a little bit about, because you talked about people crossing over. Now talk about the angels, the angelic realm. What about that? Who are these beings?
Okay, the angelic realm is it's a higher level. They don't have personalities as our deceased loved ones. When deceased loved ones come through, they're very much like a person. They're funny, they're quiet, things like that. An angel, we have guardian angels with us. They're total peace and love. They're no personality and non-judgmental. So when they come through, it's truly from a higher level. There's archangels. That's an even higher level than our guardian angel. We could all call upon the archangels. They could be in more than one place at one time. So say Archangel Michael, for example, you would call upon him to take away negativity. And just because some people say, I'm not worthy. We're all worthy. You just ask Archangel Michael, please come with me and help me to get rid of this negativity, and he will be there.
But you say they have no personality?
When I say personality, I'm talking like a person. When they come through, it's total feeling of love and strong, you know, strength. And it's a feeling more than judgment, as a person would have, you know, a person would have judgment and that type of quality.
You know, I interviewed, what's her name, Lorna Byrne. Do you have you read her book on angels?
She might be, I might be interviewing her next month because my publicist,
Jill,
has the same.
Yes, Jill is working with her, yes.
Yeah, so yes. She asked me to have her on my show. I said, I'd love to.
Oh, you will love her. She is really an amazing person. I've interviewed her a bunch of times, and I'll probably have her on my radio show, too. But she sees stuff all the time. I mean, read her book, Angels in My Hair. I think you'll really love that book.
And I hear she has another book out. I don't know the name
of
it. Oh,
yes,
right
she has
now.
Another book out. Yeah, it's a new book, and that's what she's on book tour about. But I think you'll really love her because she's like not from this planet. She is like a true mystic visionary. I mean, she has a great story. I mean, she was never not connected, you know. I mean, we've had our awakenings, but she, you know, her parents thought she was retarded, you know. They said that she was not functioning.
They didn't understand her.
Exactly. Yes, you will enjoy Lorna, and I think I'll get her on the show too. So you give classes in Ramsey's. Are you coming to New York to do anything?
Yes, I have a book signing at the Namaste Bookstore on Tuesday, October 2nd. From 6:30 to 8:30 at night. So that'll be fun.
Okay, maybe I'll see you there. Maybe I'll...
wonderful.
Yeah, Namaste Bookstore. That's 2 West 14th Street in New York City, Manhattan.
Yes. And that's October 2nd from 6:30 to 8:30. I would love to meet you and have you on the show.
Okay. And definitely I'd love to be on your show. You have my number too, right?
I don't. I think you'll have it.
I'll email that to you. And
okay,
thank
awesome.
You. So if you wanted to leave people with something just for them to take home.
Yes. I would tell them to try to see the bigger perspective in their day-to-day life. Try to see the other person's point of view. Try to create peace in your life. Don't always see how they're affecting us. Try to see how we're affecting them. And spread love and spread peace and make the world a better place.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very nice talking to you. So we'll email. We'll be in touch.
Sounds great. Have a great night.
Thanks for spending the time on New Realities.
Okay. Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. I've been talking to Karen Noe. That's K-A-R-E-N-N-O-E. That's her website, KarenNoe.com. She's the author of the new book called Through the Eyes of Another. And that's just out from Hay House. And like she said, she'll be giving a book signing in New York October 2nd at Namaste Books. That's 2 West 14th Street in Manhattan. And if you want to hear this program again, you can go to the BBS archives or you can check it out on newrealities.com. And you can email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Thanks for listening.